Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway.
안녕, it's K-Wave with Hongbin on Money FM 89.3. Welcome to K-Wave. I'm Hongbin Jung, your South Korean living right here in Singapore, bringing you all you have to know about the Korean wave, better known as the Hallyu fever. Now, it's K-Influencer today, and if you've been tuning in to season one, you'll be very, very familiar with him. You may remember him as the man with many talents, the jack of all trades, the businessman and CEO and a lawyer by day and a K-pop star by night. Yep, it's David Young, and I've brought him back, but he's not alone today. Do you remember when a preliminary audition was held here back in February to find new members for K-pop girl group 5050? Well, there were three Singaporeans out of 120 hopefuls who took part in the Singapore auditions to be selected for the next round. And one of them, while she didn't make the cut to join 5050, she was offered a trainee contract from Evergreen. And that's Joy Tai, who's a 15-year-old secondary four student at St. Joseph's Institution International. And both of them are here in the studio today. Hello, David and Joy. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Hongbin. It's great to see you. And with us today, we have Joy, one of our latest trainee.
Joy, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Yeah.
She's a little nervous. She's cute. It's okay. Well, you're going to have more of this in the future.
Right.
So, okay, David, I got to ask.
Sure.
How did the auditions go? How were those who auditioned in Singapore? Did they exceed your expectations?
Well, actually, I think it's really surprising because honestly, right at the beginning, mm-hmm. I tracked the agency for 5050. Mm. They didn't want to do the Singapore auditions.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
Frankly, because they thought like, oh, Singapore, yeah, it's a good place for concerts. It's a good place for events. But how many real K-pop idols that really came out from Singapore? Honestly, not many.
Yeah.
You know, we can even count maybe with our fingers. Mm. So I told them, we have to look further because Singapore these days, you know, the mindset is changing greatly. There's a lot of more emphasis on the arts and culture scene. If you look, even, you know, all the hype over Taylor Swift and everything, the government's emphasis on bringing entertainment into our country. Mm-hmm. So when the audition happened in Singapore, true enough, there was a lot of talent on show. Many young, promising, aspiring idols came. But at the same time, Singapore didn't have the right K-pop training system in place. You know, I mean, you being from Korea as well, you know the system is totally different in Korea and Singapore. So I spotted, the judges also spotted many potential good talents that we brought over to Thailand for the final auditions as well. But unfortunately, it's not because they don't have enough talent. Mm-hmm. It's just because they didn't have the right system to be well-equipped to train enough before debuting. Because for us, 5050 is a girl group that we're looking for the ready members, not for trainees.
Right.
Yeah, so talent was awesome. It's just that the lack of K-pop's training system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like the auditions went well because you did find Joy.
Yeah.
So Joy, give us a contestant perspective. How did the auditions go for you?
I actually stressed out like through the entire audition. And because, you know, in Singapore, there are no training facilities. It's really hard for me to compete with like existing idols in Thailand. And also, besides showing what I've got, I've also needed to outshine everyone else, which is way harder than, you know, how it's been going in Singapore. Because Thailand, they have been training for their whole lives just for this moment.
Right.
But for me, it was just like a new dream to pursue. Something like that.
So what prompted you to audition for 5050? Was it always your dream to become a K-pop star?
Actually, I've never really thought of actually being one.
Oh,
because,
okay.
you know, it seemed really far away, all the way in Korea.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know like what to do in the future as well. So, but chances just came to me. It was just like fate. And you know, when I had this chance, I was really overwhelmed. And like, you know, before I even knew it, like my dream path was already beneath my feet.
Right.
So it's really cute. And yeah.
That's nice to hear. But it seems like you mentioned there's not really, and David mentioned as well, there's not really a training, you know, facility here in Singapore. So what was it like leading up to the auditions? How did you prepare? Was there anyone helping you or was it all just solo?
I was dancing at my friend's studio.
Oh.
And singing-wise, I didn't really have that much of professional help. Mm-hmm. I did have some friends mm-hmm. over to help me, but most of the time it was just me bailing through the trainings.
Right. Okay. Well, David, what were you looking for in the contestants during the auditions?
Well, actually, when we do the auditions, I kind of knew that, you know, it would be hard to really find a perfect member for 50-50 mm-hmm. just simply because there's a lack of a proper K-pop training system. Mm-hmm. But when we have talents like Joey, 15 years old, 16 years old, talents that, you know, have so much potential, we have to start young. Mm-hmm. K-pop has to start young. We want to bring these talents over to Korea mm-hmm. to start them on this training system as soon as possible to get them ready to debut as an idol. Mm-hmm. So I think this audition is much more than just finding 50-50 members, but mm-hmm. to really find good quality talents mm-hmm. across the region. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important. And one of the strategic reasons why we chose Singapore is because everybody comes to Singapore. It's easily accessible. We had contestants from Malaysia as well coming over, mm-hmm. some from Indonesia as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say instead of just only focusing on, okay, I need to find a perfect member, for us, for my personal view, I wanted to find the suitable potential talents mm-hmm. that we could train. In Singapore, the lifestyle is so different. A lot of our talents, maybe they are used to having a very comfortable life, mm-hmm. you know, not training every day. Mm. So if we don't start them young training in Korea, they are not used to this. It's like a culture shock, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, I'm used to like waking up late or, you know, sleeping late. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got to get them started young. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking for, you know, not only talent, but really determination, hard work. Yeah, the right mindset, I think mm-hmm. is very important. Yep.
You know, fun fact, my team almost made me go for this audition.
Really?
I said no because I cannot sing.
But no, I was actually, yeah, crossed my mind. Like, you know, I remember I did an interview with you and you look gorgeous, right? So I was thinking,
oh, no.
Should I DM her and ask her to come for the audition too? Right.
Oh my goodness, no. I cannot.
No, I'm sure you have made it very far in our audition.
Well, you know,
right? Yeah.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
No, serious, it's real.
Okay, well, David, you know, despite Joey not making the cut to the new member of 50-50, you did offer her a trainee contract.
That's right.
What did you see in her that prompted you to give her this opportunity? Was it, you know, planned before that, maybe I should offer someone from the audition this opportunity, even if they didn't make the cut? Or was it, you know, when you saw Joy, you didn't want her to just go off like that and you wanted to hold on to her?
Well, for me, when we did the auditions, definitely having a trainee at that point of time didn't really cross my mind.
Mm.
But when I met her, I realized that actually she has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, she speaks good, very fluent English, Mandarin, and she speaks Korean too. So So I think she has a lot of talent, and then she is really young. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of potential for her to develop into a world-class idol, world-class K-pop idol. And the way I see it, because now, you know, K-pop is so global, with all the major groups having international members as well. Members from even Vietnam, Thailand, China.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely there is a lot of chance for her. But at the end of the day, for us as a company and for myself, there's only so much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I want the best for her. I want to give her the best training and introduce her the best people, mm-hmm. the best network. But she really has to work hard. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel. Yeah. So as long as she works hard and she's determined to succeed as an idol, I'm sure she will do well.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I see.
She does well, too. Well, you know, Joy, then, how did you feel when you got this offer?
I actually felt really sad because I didn't make it through 50-50, but it was quite tough and I felt really uncertain about my future because at this stage, I've never really thought of holding my future in my hands.
Mm.
And, you know, having to talk to my parents and family about this is really stressful just to think. So it was not a peaceful journey, you know, just to figure all of this out. But I knew that I would, like, regret if I didn't take this. So here I am.
What did your parents say about this? I mean, they would be concerned, no, sending their 15-year-old daughter all the way to Korea. What did they respond to the offer?
My mom is waiting outside. Yeah, the worry is real. I totally understand.
Like, for my mom, she actually said no when I told her that I wanted to be a trainee because, you know, she thought that it'd be, like, really dark, really painful, and it'd be, like, a journey full of blood and sweat, not with, like, you know, smiles and joy. But, like, after when I had, like, deep conversations with her and with other members of our family, she wanted to, you know, let me go and just see how everything goes from there.
Yeah, I see. Well, Then, David, what's in store for Joy now? How will she be trained up to be the next biggest world-class star?
For a start, now she's undergoing dance lessons at Jam Republic.
Oh.
Yeah, because our official partner for dance is Jam Republic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, their exclusive partner for Korea as well. So currently, she's training with Jam Republic while we are preparing her syllabus and all the logistic stuff in Korea. So yeah, now she's weekly, she's having 3 or 4 lessons a week, getting herself up to speed because, you know, in Jam Republic, we have all the world-class dancers, choreographers that is helping her. So that's the first step. And after moving on to Korea, basically, we're looking at maybe 8 hours to 12 hours a day of training that we should have to undergo, not only vocal dancing, but in terms of physical training, Pilates. We actually have quite a fair bit of syllabus to cover. I mean, she's young definitely and there's a lot of potential, but we want to, in the shortest period of time, get her up to speed with the other trainees in Korea. Yep.
Wow, it looks like there's a lot for her to cover.
A lot.
Joy.
So she needs to work hard.
Joy, are you nervous for your next adventure? What are you most excited about?
Like, for sure, I am nervous because this doesn't sound like an easy, peaceful journey.
It's not.
Yeah. And but I'm really excited for it because this will also be my first time in Korea and my first time flying to a country alone, like, without my family and all that. But, like, you know, when you're in a new environment, there's more things to discover. And I believe that with true independence, you know, it'd be a really exciting journey to have. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm also looking forward to how you turn out. Well, David, I also want to ask about you individually.
Sure.
This is another mouthful other than your long list of what you are. What's next for you? I mean, since our K-Wave season 1 interview, you've been really busy. I mean, you not only judge this edition, you appeared in several Korean reality shows. And now you're set to be featured in a new Netflix series titled Super Rich in Korea. So what's next? What's your next move? Everyone's asking, can we expect a new song from you too?
Well, definitely, I think, you know, with the Super Rich in Korea, yeah, the name is a bit, I don't know, but anyway, Super Rich in Korea, I think for me, this series honestly is pretty meaningful because people think it's like a Bling Empire thing, to be honest, but I think Super Rich in Korea, it shows successful foreigners what are their passion, what is their pursuit in Korea. Like, even if they are from wealthy families or they're doing well, they're successful, but they carve out their own path in Korea. So I think it's a story that shows it's a convergence of different cast members and their different life journeys. It's really interesting and I hope the viewers will love it. So to celebrate this release, I'm so preparing a new song that's coming up.
I'm so excited!
Yeah, the song is actually done by IVE main producer, Ryan Jeong. Yeah, he was the Melon Music Award producer of the year last year. So he's helping out with, you know, he's the main producer for my new song. So yeah, I think I'm doing a song that is, in a way, I want to showcase the feelings I have, you know, being in Korea for almost 3 years. This May will be 3 years. So it's been quite long, 3 years. So this song is in a way a reflection of my life journey of 3 years. And I mean, I have my hands very full. I have to take care of my new training as well. So yeah, that and also because, oh yeah, one thing I really like about Joey is, you know, because when we look at, you know, the public in Singapore, when we talk about K-pop, like Singaporeans going over to K-pop, I mean, generally, there's a lot of skepticism about how well we can do because, you know, the level of K-pop is so high. She, I think the similar point that she has with me that we are both mentally really strong. Like, whenever there is, of course, when there's constructive feedback, we take it positively.
Right.
But, you know, when there are some hater comments which doesn't make any sense, you know, we can, it's very important to be able to filter that out. And I think that is a very important aspect for idols, for artists that are in the front line to have a very strong mental ability, mental health to be able to filter out constructive comments from just comments that don't make sense, you know. So, like, I think one of the very strong potential she has, and which is, I feel, very similar to me, is our ability to be able to filter this off strongly.
But you know what they say, if you get a hate comment, that's when you know you made it.
Maybe we can try to aim for more hate comments. Just kidding.
Okay. Well, David, on that note as well, you have also started hosting a Korean YouTube channel.
Yes.
And some of your K-Idol guests, I hear, pretty big. Tell me more about this.
I think if the viewers have watched my latest episode, latest channel, it's called Yoni no Money.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pun on Show Me the Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so our first guest was Kwon Eun-bi. Mm. She was the water bomb goddess for last year. And yeah, it was fun because, you know, being a foreigner, being able to host a Korean YouTube channel, and my Korean is still not like 100%. I have to sometimes use some body language, mix some English in, you know, stuff like that. So it's really fun. And the thing is, for a foreigner to be able to be friends, to interact with A-list K-pop idols, artists, I think it's a really rare opportunity. I'm really blessed to be able to be selected to be a host of this new channel. And the further lineup of guests that's appearing on the further episodes are actually very, very impressive. So many names, you know, they are really top seniors in industry. So this talk show is really, for me, is really deep because we go into a lot of topics that are not very superficial. We talk about how do they overcome their slump in their career. You know, everybody, there's ups and downs, especially as an entertainer. So how do they overcome their deep in form or their deep in popularity or the mental health aspect of things and the difficulties, other difficulties that they face. And also, importantly, as foreigners, what are the difficulties that I face in Korea? Being an artist, being a businessman, what are the difficulties I face in Korea to be integrated into the industry, into the society? So it honestly covers a range of topics, and it's also, in a way, a learning process for me because I learn from them too, all of these senior idols, like, oh, you know, how do you do this? How do you do well in this project? How do you actually prep yourself for something? So honestly, it was really fun. I'm still actually filming it. Every 2 weeks, we have like two or three episodes filming. So I'm still filming and filming and learning at the same time.
Well, I'm looking forward to more episodes on this. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Please call us back next time.
I will. Please accept my call is my concern.
Next time when she comes back, when we come back, probably she's a full-fledged idol already, right?
She's going to be too busy for me. She's going to be like, oh.
No. For sure we'll come back. I'll make her, because we can come back now. We can arrange a date now.
Alrighties. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Hong Bin.
I've been speaking to David Young, multinational businessman and CEO, influencer, venture capitalist, lawyer, and a K-pop artist. And I feel like I can add more to this list, which is now a reality show star, TV personality, and a YouTuber. And of course, Joy Tai, who is your potential new K-pop world star. I'm Hong Bin Jung, and this has been K-Influencers on K-Wave, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.